You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
That's Weird Al Yankovic and Eat It. And the reason I play that is because we're going to be talking about eating, because in the studio with me, I've got Grant Kipling, who is a private chef. Hello, Grant. Welcome to Zone Radio.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon to your listeners.
Nice to have you here, and you're here because you've been selected as one of the panelists on for this Long Beach Mall recipe book initiative that they're doing at the moment.
Correct. Yes. Very glad to be on board with the panel.
Okay. All right. So we thought it would be a nice idea for you, the listeners, to get to know who the panelists are, because this is quite a unique concept. They're looking to put together a very special book, and it's kind of, you just submit your recipe and the panelists are going to look at it, as far as I understand, and select the recipes that they think should be in the book. And why not get published? I mean, if you've got a favorite recipe, it would be quite nice to have it in a book, don't you think, Grant?
Yeah, fantastic idea. And I love the community spirit around this, the heritage of recipes. Obviously, cooking and food is my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this concept because it takes people back to their youth, to their childhood, and carries those recipes forward that you've got from your grandmother and your parents. And it's just a fantastic way to showcase what food can do for families as well.
Exactly, yes. Because I think we've kind of, over the years, we've lost that wonderful concept of families sitting around having dinner together. And hopefully this can bring some of that back.
Well, I would think so, because some of those recipes have gone carried on for years and years and years, and we're coming up to the Easter period now,
mm-hmm.
where the classic pickled fish.
Yes.
How many hundreds of those recipes are knocking about? Uh-huh. And we would love to see some of that, but not just limited to that.
Yes.
The concept of recipes that have been in our area, not only our area, all over the show for decades and centuries.
Mm.
We need to see them, and we need to see them showcased by the people who actually cook them.
Yes, exactly. And so what are you going to be looking for in the recipes?
Well, I think what we're looking for is the uniqueness of the recipe,
mm-hmm.
where it comes from,
yeah.
The flavors that need to be developed in this recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much its presentation. I mean, we can all make food look pretty, but it's about the flavors and where it came from. What's the story behind it?
Mm,
how did you get this recipe?
Yes.
And that is where we're going. We want people to share their recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And with recipes comes stories and cultures.
Memories.
And memories and backgrounds, and that is what we're looking for.
Mm, mm. And your background, you're a private chef, but you didn't start off as a private chef. Where were you before?
No, well, I actually got into cooking in an interesting way. I was playing action cricket one night, probably 25 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I snapped my Achilles tendon clean off.
Ouch.
Yes, it was. And I ended up in hospital for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of hospital with my leg in plaster above my knee,
mm-hmm.
totally bedridden.
Ouch.
And when I could finally move around, I'd been watching all these TV cooking shows. They were just coming out then. They were the rage with the mm-hmm. really young Jamie Olivers.
Oh, yes.
And the Keith Floyd, just before, he was really old then. But and I sort of thought, well, I can do that, I think. So I got myself an office chair,
mm-hmm.
and scooted around the kitchen. I couldn't walk. Probably made everybody in my life's house a living misery, ordering them about, get me this, get me that. And I actually realized I enjoyed this.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, I was quite good at it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was more able-bodied, I actually enrolled myself in a cookery diploma,
mm-hmm.
as a professional chef.
Okay.
And I qualified there. Then my good friend Franck Dangereau from Len Lacalom,
mm-hmm.
now Food Barn.
Okay.
He was a good friend of mine. He said, well, why don't I come along and join him in the kitchen there? Well, almost job shadowing.
As an apprentice sort of thing.
As an apprentice, yeah. So, I mean, you don't turn your nose up at an opportunity like that.
Absolutely
not. And while we were there, well, I was there, we won the Best Restaurant in Africa in the Middle East Award, which was fantastic.
Mm.
Then, unfortunately, events happened there and the farm was sold. But Franck took the opportunity to buy what is now the Food Barn.
Mm-hmm. That's in Noordhoek, right?
In Noordhoek, at the farm village.
Yeah.
And I joined him there,
mm.
all unpaid, while I carried on to my other job.
Oh, wow.
Job. So I worked with him and some fantastic chefs. Kerry Kilpin, who's now the GM of Steenberg
mm-hmm.
Estate, which is Bistro 1682, and Trin.
mm-hmm.
some fantastic chefs. And yeah, I carried on from there. I had another business in the valley. My family owned the Micah Hardware Store.
Okay.
And we had a construction hire company. I eventually sold that in 2011.
It's a completely different career, isn't it?
But within that career,
yes.
I was chefing.
Okay.
I was living my dream.
Yes.
And I got into the private chefing side.
Mm-hmm.
Joined the restaurant. I was executive chef at the Brass Bell.
Okay.
And I've recently just left Clan Constantia Wine Estate as a head chef there. Now
yes.
that is been voted one of the top, I think, number 13 best wine farms in the world.
Oh, wow. Yes, so and it's a beautiful place.
So I've a good background there, but private mm-hmm. chefing is my
absolute passion.
It's my passion. The people, I've worked for people throughout the world, and mm-hmm. I literally mean all four
mm-hmm.
corners.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my work comes from villas in Camps Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Local people, I'm doing a job in St. Helena Bay in 3 weeks' time for local folk.
Okay.
So it gets me around,
yep.
and yeah, it's fantastic, and I love it.
And you live in the valley?
I live in Fishhook. I was born and bred. I was born in False Bay Hospital
okay.
53 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I've got three children. All three of my kids went to Fishhook High School. One mm-hmm. is just still there now.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, local, you can't get more local than me.
No, local is lekker.
Yeah,
hey?
It is.
So tell me how it works now. So if you get a job in St. Helena, that's quite a distance to travel. Surely you don't cook here. You go over there and you cook there, do you?
This particular one, we will do a little bit of the prep work here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will travel and do the rest there.
And then do you sort of spend the night there?
Most definitely.
Okay,
yes.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's a long day's work. Chefing is long hours.
I know.
That job will take me 3 days from start to finish.
Wow.
Two of them will be at home, but the last one will be a 16 to 18 hour day. It's not for the faint-hearted, that
no.
I can promise.
No.
I got someone who messaged me last week asking for advice for a 22-year-old to become a private chef, and my advice was don't.
Don't.
Go cut your teeth in a restaurant first.
Yes.
It will...
Get a name for yourself first.
It will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah.
You're working for really... Really top end people internationally, mm-hmm. and they don't accept second best.
Absolutely.
So go cut your teeth in a restaurant, get the edges knocked off you, and then private chefing is great.
Yeah, because you said chefing's not for the faint hearted. I mean, it sounds like a really glamorous career, but it really isn't. And when you start out, I mean, Richard's niece actually was a chef. She was training as a chef, and she actually worked at La Colombe actually, and. I know, she came up in tears many times. It's hard.
It is hard.
Shouted at a lot, and you really do. You have to peel vegetables. You have to learn how to clean up the kitchen. It's not just about cooking and enjoying it.
No, it isn't. And when you've got children as well, I remember when I was working at the Brass Bell, my son was probably five.
Yeah.
And I'd get up in the morning, go to work, and work all day. He also went off school. I'd come home after work, and he was in bed and asleep already.
Yeah.
So
missed out on a lot.
You do. Birthdays, you work birthdays. That is the chefing industry, and if you choose to go into that, you can't complain when it happens.
No, sure,
yeah,
sure.
This is one of those things.
And so when you're doing a private function, do you set your menu yourself, or do you liaise with the client first and find out really what their taste is and what they're looking for, or do they tell you what they want?
It works both ways. Some clients are very happy to just allow you free rein to whatever mm-hmm. you want. There are dietary requirements, allergies that you stick to.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I found with our international clients, they love a braai.
Yeah.
That's
oh, really?
Absolute. So we put on just not normal a braai, not like you and I would have over the weekend.
Yes.
We go the full hog with a 4 or 5 course meal with a braai. I've got one coming up on this Monday.
Okay.
We'll be doing 5 courses of various all traditional South African things.
And everything is braai, even the starters?
Well, it depends. It's a bit of a combination. Braai, baked, lots of salads.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we
love salads. Mm.
So, yeah, I'm pretty keen to see what recipes come out in this book that I can utilize. So I'm looking forward to loads of entries.
Yes. Yeah, we are looking forward to loads of entries. So, guys, let me try that in English. Don't procrastinate too much because it closes on the 8th of March. So they've got to get their recipes in. What do you love most about being a chef?
I think it's the interaction with people.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurant chefs, slightly to the lesser degree than a private chef.
Mm-hmm.
Even at restaurants, I would go out of the kitchen a lot. A lot of chefs like to hide in the back and never ever be seen. I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Private chefing, you are everything to that guest.
Okay.
You are a tour guide. you're a medical help when something goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally everything to that person, and they look to you for help throughout their two-week stay or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the interaction with people, and then making them happy through food. To see mm-hmm. someone sitting in front of a plate of food that I've prepared and loving it, that just doesn't.
It must be a great compliment.
It really is.
I mean, we all cook. Not all of us love it. I mean, I like to experiment. I like to cook for people. I don't like to cook for my partner. He doesn't like the food that I like. So I'm always kind of having to remember what he enjoys and forget about what I enjoy. So when I invite people over, it's quite nice to just experiment a bit. But it's not easy because it can fail.
Well, it can. And touch wood, so far I haven't had that problem.
No, but you're experienced.
Yes, you're not always. But the thing with I always say to people, don't be afraid to try.
Mm.
You must try. What is the worst you can do? It ends up in the bin.
Mm.
Try again.
Mm.
It never give up with cookery. I've got a good friend of mine. His name is Pete. And he's probably listening right now, so he'll have a bit of a cackle. He loves to try things.
Okay.
He will mess around in the kitchen. We'll have a glass of wine together. And he'll try, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. He's got his what he calls his signature dish,
mm-hmm.
which is a spaghetti bolognese.
Okay.
And he will make that over and over again. And he's actually very, very nice. But he's perfected over the years.
Mm.
So my message is, don't give up. Try different things. Mm. And don't get despondent when it doesn't work.
Yes. And there's a lot of help out there, isn't there? I mean, we were talking about it off air. There's Google and YouTube and that. But but there's nothing for me, because I love books. There's nothing nicer than opening a recipe book and trying something different.
That is so true.
Yeah.
And when you see a recipe that you look at this and you go, wow, I've heard about this. I never made it.
Mm.
Let me try it. And those are the recipes we're looking for. And that comes from experience of many, many years handed down from mother, from grandmother to mother to son to daughter, and that is what we'd love to see in this book.
And I kind of know two people, and I'm hoping Colleen is listening, because Colleen is a great cook, and she's very experimental, and her recipes are divine. So I'm hoping she's listening, and she's going to submit one or two of those for your reviews, and because it's an easy way to get your recipes in. It's online. You just I've looked at the form. Mm-hmm. It's very easy.
Very easy.
You just complete the form and you submit. And if you're not the online type of person, then they've covered that base too, because they've got the forms at the mall where you can go and pick them up.
No, of course. It's everything's made easy. You just, at worst, stop in at the admin office in the mall.
Yes.
And that will help you through all the steps. It's a very, very simple process.
Yeah. And I'm guessing then, once all the recipes are in, the three of you, because I believe there are three panelists, we're going to be interviewing the other two over the next couple of weeks. You're all going to look at all those recipes, and between the three of you decide which ones would work really well in a book.
Correct, John.
Are you going to be trying those recipes?
Most definitely. Most of the job of the panel will be to scrutinize these recipes,
mm-hmm.
To see whether they are viable.
Mm-hmm.
And we will most definitely be making some of them. And we're looking at possibly getting some of the people who submit them
mm-hmm.
to pop in and help us out and have a look. So it's very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see any of these recipes not being absolutely stunning because they would have been in the family for many years.
Mm.
But we will most definitely get involved with the people who submit the recipes.
Okay. So you can't cheat and just take a copy and paste from a recipe book or anything like that.
Mm.
You've got to have made it yourself. You've got to have made it your own kind of thing.
Well, you can try.
And there should be a story behind it.
Yeah, there should be. But you're going to get caught out very quickly if you copy and paste.
No, I'm sure you are.
No, the stories, it's a combination of the stories and the recipes that we're after.
Mm. So, folks, don't be scared about this, because sharing is caring, really. And we're all looking for inspiration in the kitchen. We really are, especially those of us who have to cook every day. It gets boring, doesn't it? You do need to try different things.
Try and mix it up. Make mistakes. That's how we all learnt in life. We made mistakes, be it in business, in relationships, everywhere. We make mistakes,
mm-hmm.
and nothing is not fixable. So you just carry on, and food is an easy way to make mistakes and fix it.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know about fixing it. A lot of mine's ended up in the dustbin.
That's okay, too.
Bread. baking bread. I love baking bread, but sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But
baking, and I'm not a pastry chef by any means.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't like using exact precise grammage in my recipes.
Okay.
So baking is that is an art form on its own.
It's a science,
I think,
really.
During lockdown, the sourdough thing became that became a thing. You've got to make your own starter.
Yes.
No. I steer away from that. Yeah. It's once again, leave the right things to the professionals.
Okay.
That's why great restaurants have pastry chefs.
Absolutely. And can I ask you what your favorite recipe is? What's your favorite thing to make, should I say?
I would possibly say pork belly.
Oh, really?
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
My background with being with Le Calame and Franck is pretty French.
Yes.
So I like long, slow food. I like sauces, stuff that takes a lot of input, bit of training, and just your attention and focus. Risotto is another one I love making because you must make a stock. Mm-hmm. And once you start a risotto, you don't walk away for a second.
You can't. Eh?
No, if your phone rings, leave the phone. You can call them back. If the doorbell rings, they can wait.
Okay.
And that is very relaxing as well.
Okay.
Because your focus is there.
Yeah. So do you actually relax while you're doing this, or do you find it quite stressful?
It's stressful when you're doing it in an environment that you have to get things out in time frames.
Mm-hmm.
At home, no, I just love. Yeah. I just love. We've actually got an event tomorrow, which is quite interesting, where we are going to a friend's house who is a world-class sommelier, and we are doing a MCC tasting, MCC,
yes.
The Method Cup de Classique.
Yes.
And we are putting together sort of a canapé with each glass of bubbles.
Oh, wow.
And you've got to actually try work out where the bubbles come from.
Mm-hmm.
And the food must complement that. So that's great. Now that
sounds like fun.
No, that is. And I've spent the whole morning working on that and messing around with that.
Oh, so you're doing all different things, which is cool.
Then I've got clients on Monday night. There's a bit of stress kicks in there.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I love it. I wouldn't change. I wouldn't do anything in the world.
Okay.
I love it.
Okay, so you wouldn't change. You wouldn't go back to hardware.
No. I've done my time there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Well, you've got a very interesting story to tell, and let's hope that the listeners come forward with a whole lot of recipes and lots of stories behind those recipes as well.
I hope so.
Because that is really what it's all about, folks. So if you are procrastinating and you're wondering whether you should do it, do it. I think it must be quite an honor and a compliment to have your recipe featured in a beautiful book, and it sounds like it's going to be absolutely beautiful. And imagine all of us in the valley trying your recipe. I think that's a great compliment.
Go for it. Do it. Just do it.
Yes, I must do it. Am I allowed to ask you if you've done a function for anyone famous? I'm sure you can't disclose your clients.
Your answer to that is yes, many, and no, okay. I can't disclose.
Well, so we're not allowed to know.
I can mention the one because she is no longer with us, Margaret Thatcher.
Oh, really?
She was a regular at Le Calame.
Oh, my word.
Loved her roast chicken.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lovely. No, quite a few, but
I'm sure you have to keep your clients private anyway, because correct. That's why you're a private chef, not a general chef.
Not a public chef.
Exactly, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners? If anyone's thinking, I'd like to get a private chef in, would you be open to that?
Yes, of course. That is what I do. You are welcome to drop me an email. My email address is chefconsultingservices@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. I have a team of people that assist when necessary.
Okay.
And we love doing that. That type of thing is, it's literally what we do. So any function, large, small, anything, you are welcome to. We'll have a look and see how we can help you.
That sounds amazing. We might give you a try one day.
Please do.
Just repeat that email address again. It's going to go into the podcast anyway, but just so that the listeners know.
Sure. It's chefconsultingservices, all in one word, @gmail.com.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners?
Well, just I'd like to really encourage the listeners to support this project, to get your recipes in there. Let's build the community spirit around this. But it's not limited to the Fishhook Valley area. Anybody can send their recipes in and contribute to the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's a fantastic way to share part of our own lives, our stories, our cultures.
Mm.
We live in a multicultural situation.
Oh, we do,
And it's fantastic. And I just encourage people to get out there it might take you a bit of effort to get your recipe in, but just do it and you will love the results. Mm. You never know what goes from that.
Exactly, yes. I've had a comment here, and it's a typical Rory comment. He says, I'd mix concrete and enjoy it if Nigella told me to.
Okay, I don't know Rory, but...
good for you, Rory.
I know a few, but let's not speculate.
Absolutely not. So, Rory, submit your recipe. I know you like to cook. There are many listeners that I've heard talking about loving cooking. And, yeah, do it. I mean, no. Go for it. If it's not selected, what's the big deal?
It's no harm done. I actually, to be honest, I couldn't imagine my life without cooking.
No, me neither.
And I did it probably... I didn't cook until I had this horrendous accident.
Mm.
And it was... They always say out of adversity comes opportunity.
Yes.
And it was a fantastic opportunity because through cooking, I've worked overseas.
Mm-hmm.
I've met amazing people. To work on a wine farm like Clan Constantia as their head chef is just an opportunity that does not present itself very often.
No, no.
And I've met some good people there and I've learned a lot. So once again, just take a chance and do something.
Okay. So if someone's listening and thinking, I'd like to try that, so they apply to a cooking school, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any local ones here?
Not too many locally here. Your big ones are Silwood, Sense of Taste, the Capsicum, Cape Town Hotel School.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to start, you apply to one of those schools.
All right.
And it's normally you can do a 1, 2, or 3-year diploma.
Okay.
And you will be placed in a restaurant from...
Oh, do they place you then? Yep, oh, well, that's good to know, yeah.
And a lot of people actually, once they qualify, tend to sort of stay on with that restaurant.
Mm.
Like we spoke about Kerry Kilpin a little while ago. She worked for Frank as a Silwood student.
Yes.
Stayed on as Frank's sous chef for many years before a fantastic opportunity at Eitzach came along. Sorry, okay. Not Eitzach, Steenberg.
Yes.
Where she still is. So
okay.
The opportunities are huge.
Yeah. And there are restaurants all over the place, so you can't sort of decide I'm going to work in near where I live. You kind of go where they place you.
When you're studying, yes. You'll be placed. Yeah. They will try to place you close to where you live.
Okay, that's nice to
know. As close as possible.
Mm.
And then once you're qualified, obviously the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
There's one thing in this world that everybody does is eat.
Exactly.
So as a chef, you're never going to be out of work.
No, sure.
I'll guarantee you that.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been absolutely lovely chatting to you. And let's hope we get lots and lots of recipes flying in now for this competition. And it's not really a competition. They have called it a competition, but it's kind of just an initiative, I think.
I think it's probably a better phrase to use. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And
and your prize is getting your recipe published. And
who would want
you
that?
You could become famous.
Exactly. I don't even have a recipe in a recipe book anywhere that's
don't
published.
Don't you?
Published many articles and not in a recipe book as such. So I'm not allowed to enter, apparently.
No, you can't. It would be a bit biased. Well, thank you so much, as I said, for coming in. I know you're very busy and giving up your time is very special to us and we really appreciate it. And I'm going to play out with Eric Bibb and Happy Home Recipe, which kind of ends the topic.
Fantastic choice.
We played it last week as well, or last time when Minnan was on as well. It's a really good song. It really is, and it's perfect for this, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. What a way to play out.
Thank you. Thank you, Grant. Take care.
You're welcome.